GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. Gee, you might not know this, but Sandy Howard of Say No to NECEC is not only with the organization with concerns about the CMV project, she's a registered Maine guide, and I think if we're nice to her, she'll invite us on one of the whitewater rafting tours that she hosts.
Yeah, I was reading about that the other day. I've never done that, probably won't, but...
It's not too late for us, George. I think. Sandy, would you take us out on the river?
I'd be happy to, and we'd certainly have to get some pictures for your listeners.
You
have you ever heard the phrase, screaming like a schoolgirl? That would be me and G.
I always wanted to do that out at in the Grand Canyon where they do it also. But, yeah, you know the run of... I guess the lay of the land.
Lay of the river, I guess.
And you know where the rocks are and all that.
The Kennebec in particular.
How did a nice lady like you get into this business?
Oh, man, it's been 23 years I've worked up in western Maine, up in the Forks region. And, you know, it's just an amazing area, and we've had a fantastic season. The water's warm, so people should come up, including you guys.
And we can imagine the water might be a little high today after what's happening or what happened last night. Maybe we can get to the question that we had for you. We got the note that Say No to NECEC with concerns about Central Maine Power's extension or expansion of power lines from Quebec down to Massachusetts. Suggesting that it should be put to a statewide vote. There's been talk about it, but now Say No to NECEC is taking a step in that direction, Sandy?
Right. So earlier this week, we had a huge announcement. Our grassroots organization is launching a referendum exploratory committee to take a look at what we need to do to launch a referendum to defeat the CMP corridor.
Well, right off the bat, I'll ask you you know the questions anyway. We just repeat them so you can answer. This grassroots group, Say No to NECEC, would have to have at least 70,000 signatures, probably a little more because they throw them out, in order to get the bill in the ballot box in November 2020. That's not an easy job.
You're right. It's complex. And, you know, we need a lot of legal advice, campaign advice, but we have an army of volunteers ready to gain signatures. And as you know, over 70% of Mainers oppose it. So there are signatures out there to be had.
We could imagine it would be easy to get the signatures in the communities geographically, broad brush here, western Maine, where the CMP project is top of mind. But to get that many signatures, I can't imagine you're not going to have to go into territories outside of CMP, Emira, Maine, or will you?
Well, I think, you know, there are so many people who oppose this line, whether they're on the corridor route or not. A lot of people have an appreciation for the brand that we have now in Maine with the wilderness, and people are frustrated with CMP. They don't trust them to be able to manage a project of this magnitude. So, you know, we've got signs that have been flying out the doors, going all out over Maine, and just looking at the membership on our page, it's not just strictly limited to corridor towns.
I'm not a lawyer. I'm never going to play one. I just like to follow some things that they do.
Fibber. You play one all the time.
Play one all the time.
You know,
all right. The PUC gave the initial approval. There may be some constitutional challenges here along the way. I heard you say that you wanted to get some legal advice, and I guess that's a pretty smart idea, isn't it?
Well, it's true, because we know that we could win this. But we have to have the right question, and we have to make sure it stands up, because CMP's got an army of lawyers who are, you know, ready to shut this down.
Sandy Howard is with Say No to NECEC, and they sent out the item. We read it for listeners yesterday, just openly asking for donations. How much do you think it's going to cost in order to get the pens and the clipboards and the petitions and get it through the Secretary of State's office? How big an operation are we talking here?
Well, you know, we're still exploring that. I think we're going to save a lot of money because we won't need to hire people to get signatures. We've got volunteers who are already on deck for that. But there's, you know, there's filing fees. There's obviously advertisements and printing fees. So it could be upwards of $1 million if we think about having to put ads there. But that's something we're still looking at.
One of the difficulties is in gathering signatures is you would like to get on the ballot of 2020 when there's people are going to be voting for sure. But in this current session, there's no fall big ballot. So signature takers are going to have to do it on the street code. They can't stand outside the polls and do it this time, right?
Right. So from what I understand, referendum campaigns that have launched around this time have had success gaining the signatures they need by the end of the year. So if we do launch, that's the timeline we're looking at. We'd need to get all of our signatures by the end of December and then submit that for the legislature to take a look at when they meet in January. And then we're looking at that November 2020 vote.
I'm guessing you already have people raising their hands saying, I'm ready to take the clipboard, the aforementioned clipboard and pen, and go and stand on a street corner, no matter where it might be in the state, Sandy.
Well, it's true, and I think the work that our members have done across the 21 towns to gain that support to build our effort to oppose the line, that's building our base. So we've got 21 towns that are rescinded or opposed now, and just this week we learned that Livermore Falls is going to be going to a vote on August 20th. Woolwich, their select board, is going to be taking another look at their position at it on August 19th, and we've got petitions circulating in other towns. So, you know, it's realistic that by this fall we could have 30 towns that could oppose. And have you ever heard of that happening on any other issue?
No, there's a lot of emotion with this one because it's Maine territory, and yeah, I understand it. And in Franklin County and all the other towns that are coming out against CMP, it's kind of in my backyard type of thing. When we deal with politics, we often ask the questions on these referendums with the Bear campaign and all the others about money. There is a group called Stop the Corridor that there's been quite a bit of advertising out there. Do we have any idea where that money came from?
Well, you know, we are part of that coalition, even though we're a separate organization, and we've been working, you know, throughout the last year. We just celebrated our year anniversary. We've been working with Stop the Corridor, Environment Maine, Natural Resources Council of Maine, and so while we tend to strategize together like we did during the legislative session in June, we don't have the intel on where all of our money comes from in terms of, I know that our $5 Fridays and people joke about like our bake sales and our auctions, that's funding our grassroots effort. But I don't know where the money is coming for other organizations.
Okay. Everyone's curious, so we might as well ask. What's $5 Fridays? It sounds like a deal you get at a restaurant chain somewhere. What's $5 Fridays?
A lobster roll for $5.
$5. It's going to be a pretty small lobster roll. What's $5 Fridays?
$5 Fridays is a way to encourage our members to put into our effort. We've had legal fees at the DEP and the LUPC because we hired the same lawyers that helped defeat Northern Pass, which is a similar project that was proposed in New Hampshire. So we've had some legal bills to pay for, and it's a way for people to consider, hey, if I give up one cup of coffee a week and put in $5 into the grassroots effort, maybe we can defeat this thing. So that's how we roll, and we welcome anybody to jump in on that. Hey, we've got another Friday coming up tomorrow.
Don't you take away my coffee. Don't you touch my coffee. Sandy Howard with Say No to NECEC is talking with us in the Newsmakers Hour on the George Hale Rick Tyler Show.
Sandy, there's been a lot. We're dealing with CMP all over the place here today with their offer to put a $6 million fund out to compensate customers with disputed bills. There's a lot of flack going around CMP, no question about that. But they are a powerful organization. We need electric power. They claim this is a win-win for Maine. One more time, tell us why your group is so opposed to this.
Well, if we're talking about the $6 million customer fund that they're trying to get the PUC to approve in lieu of their financial penalty, that's only contingent if they get the rate hike. So if you think about it, that's more of a business negotiation. That's not a we're sorry we screwed up to their customers. And, you know, from what I've read in the Bangor Daily and the Portland Press, the leaders of CMP Ratepayers Unite, you know, they're feeling like that's a buyout to shut up and move on. They're not getting answers on individual bills, and that's really what people want. They want to know that they're going to have stability in their billing, and this does not solve that. It's going to end up that CMP would still make a profit, and that's what their end game is.
Janet Mills is still on record as supporting this project. Is there still some concern, or is there an effort to reach out to the Blaine House to try to discuss the issue with her as you talk with people on the street?
Well, despite multiple attempts from our organization, we've not been able to get a meeting with her. And with all of the other concerns that are going on about CMP with their credibility and their overbilling, I would hope that the Blaine House and her advisors would say, you know, this is a great time for you to bow out of the corridor support. It would help her save face, and it could potentially help her political career, which every politician tends to be, you know, focusing on.
There are so many people that have an oar in the water here. It's hard for many of us to keep up to it. The Maine PUC approved the transmission line. Now there is an appeal approved going, to the Supreme Court from NextEra Energy Resources. They were in there accusing the commission of ignoring state law.
Well, it's true. If you look at the statute, the PUC did not conduct an alternatives analysis, and that's something that I talked about in my testimony. I know it came up with the formal interveners, and that seems to be an egregious error that NextEra is pointing out. But I'm really glad that you talk about a lot of people having an oar in the water, and thanks for the metaphor, because I want to tell you about an event that's happening next week. So August 14th, 6 o'clock in Wilton, there's a small business forum against the corridor. So if you think about it, you know, there's been all of this information about, oh, this corridor will bring jobs. But the analysis of the PUC did not consider small businesses. So hundreds of small businesses with real permanent jobs would be in jeopardy if the corridor goes through. Right, so there are going to be speakers at this forum on August 14th from the lumber, biomass, industries, and recreation outfitters. And we're going to give an update on the referendum exploratory that night, too. But I think it's important for people to know that it's not just big corporations that are against this project. It's people who have real skin in the game. Their jobs are on the line. People who enjoy recreating. It's grassroots. So the idea of outside corporate interests being against the project, well, that may be true, but that doesn't represent all of us. And if you want to think about outside interests, these are two foreign corporations that are trying to get this line through Maine. So we hope that people will come to that small business forum and learn a little bit more about how some other industries are going to be crushed.
We don't know if you've already met or talked with or swapped emails with Linda Ball. She is the new vice president for customer service in Maine for Central Maine Power. Our hunch is that if you haven't had contact with her, you may soon, because she's now on the job. She's going to be on a program tomorrow. Have you met her or talked with her, or have you plans to talk with her soon? Because she's going to be a point person, I think, in addressing the concerns of Say No to NECEC?
Well, I had heard that CMP hasn't been happy with their PR and that they were going to bring new people in, so it may be Ms. Ball who's stepping into this new role. They haven't had a lot of luck in the town votes, so maybe they're trying another avenue.
One final question. The utility offering $258 million in incentives, $140 million for rate relief, $50 million for low income, $15 million heat pumps, $15 million for electric cars and charging stations. They've thrown a lot of money in this. Do you buy that this is going to bring a vote their way?
Well, I think if we launch a referendum, then the vote's going to be on our side. We have to also remember that all those financial promises, the numbers that you just mentioned, George, are over a 40-year period. And if you think about inflation, the change of the dollar, that's pennies per person on their bill. And people have had to pay so much for their unreasonable bills that it's a drop in the bucket. So I think it's a way for CMP to try to put lipstick on the pig of the project that they're trying to put through Maine.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.